Investing Simplified is brought to you by Price Financial Group Wealth Management Incorporated, a registered investment advisor firm with Bo Caldwell, CFP, and Chuck Price, founder and author of Investing Simplified, the book, and the number one bestseller, Your Retirement Made Simple. Chuck Price has been doing estate planning since 1970 and investing in retirement planning since 1975. Individual situations will vary, and the information on this show should only be relied upon when coordinated with individual professional advice. Other parties present on this broadcast are not affiliated with Price Financial Group Wealth Management Incorporated. Investing Simplified is the longest running live financial show in America with a financial advisor and now a CFP, an estate planning attorney, and a CPA to answer your questions for free, and comes to you live from Portland, Oregon on affiliated stations throughout the Pacific Northwest. You can contact Bo or Chuck by visiting PFGWM. Or you can email them with a question at ask@pfgwm.com. Or you can call them right now at 503-417-9595. That's 503-417-9595. And for our long distance and podcast listeners, you can call toll free at 877-733-1011. That's 877-733-1011. Now, here's the host of Investing Simplified, Bo Caldwell.
Hello there, and welcome into Investing Simplified. However you are listening to us today, thank you for making us a part of your day. We are broadcasting live here from Portland, Oregon, here around the Pacific Northwest. So if you are listening live and have a question, something that's been keeping you up at night about your finances, about your estate planning, about your tax planning, pick up the phone, give me a call, 503-417-9595 or 877-733-1011. You can also visit investingsimplifiedradio.com and ask your question there via text if you don't want to speak on the radio show. I'm Bo Caldwell, CFP, Vice President of Price Financial Group Wealth Management, and I am coming to you solo here in the studio today. Both Chuck Price and Kevin Stege, normal co-hosts on the show, are off today. They're enjoying the rest of their holiday weekend, and I got to say it's been a bit of a shock to have the 4th of July weekend spread out so much. I don't know about you, but for me, when the holiday like that happens on a Thursday, it really, it jimmies with my feeling, because I get confused about what day it is really easy when there's a holiday like that. But we did have a market open day on Friday, and the market did go down a little bit. We had a little bit of a pullback during the beginning of the day, and then it worked its way back to almost even. But so far this year, the NASDAQ is up a little over 23%, which is pretty spectacular considering we're only, 6 months into the year. So if we annualize that out, conceivably, that could be a 46% return in the market, which would be crazy, and I don't actually see that happening. But so far this year, it is up 23%. The Dow is up a little over 15%, and the S&P is up a little over 19%. And those are big-time returns in the markets so far this year. But the big key to think about is, yeah, that's the year-to-date number. The markets are up, double digits. In the NASDAQ's case, 23%. But if you actually look a year ago till today, the end of the week Friday, then the NASDAQ is only up 6% from this time last year until this year. The Dow Jones is actually up 10, so it's actually crushing the NASDAQ on a year-over-year basis. And then the S&P is only up 8.36. So if you compare that, the S&P's up 19 so far this year. It's only up 8.36 if you look back July of last year till July of this year. So when you're comparing your performance and how your investments have done, I can't stress this enough, but make sure you're taking a long-term view on how your investments have performed. If you're using a money manager, if you're doing it yourself, comparing your performance to the market itself, we've talked about many times, is sort of, a fool's folly. It's unless you're investing directly in the exact investments the S&P 500 holds, unless you're holding the 500 biggest stocks in the United States in the proportions that they're held in the S&P 500, you're just not going to do what the S&P 500 is doing. Now, if you are one of those investors who buys the index fund, so a Vanguard index fund, a Fidelity index fund, any of the index funds that are out there that are tracking the S&P 500, you should be pretty close to that number so far this year of 19% up, minus the maybe 7 basis points, 8 basis points, 0.15%, 15 basis points that that index costs. So you should be pretty close. However, unless you timed it perfectly right, got out of the market when it, you know, when it was down in December, got out of the market when it was down in October, got back in and then back out and then back in late December, early January, then you aren't probably up 19% so far this year. If you did the smart thing, which if you're an index investor, if you're buying those index funds and holding them for the long term, you're probably up right around 8% since this time last year, which is perfectly great. You know, there's no reason to be upset about being up that much. The biggest thing to look at is if you're trying to time the market, you have to be right twice, right? So you have to be right on the downside when it's going to go down. You have to be right getting out. And then you have to be right again on the way up. And that's what we call tactical investing. There's a big debate on Wall Street these days about whether tactical investing or fundamental investing are the best way to go. And you'll hear folks, if you watch CNBC, if you watch Fox Business, if you watch Bloomberg, any of those channels that are market-based that show you what the stock market is doing, when the market's open, invariably there is a program or two that is all about charting. And there's those technical analysts that say, hey, look at this chart and the 20-day moving average, you'll hear the 50-day moving average, the 200-day moving average. You'll hear all these different averages that they track and these charts that they track, and they say, this is why, this is what's going to happen in the market. Now, I don't know if you've noticed, this is what Chuck and I do, and so this is what I pay attention to, but I look at some of those analysts and what I hear them saying in more than so many words, what they're actually saying is, because of this number and this chart, and you see this, the way that these cross here, that means the market's going to either go up, it's going to go down, or it's going to stay flat. And I got to tell you, basically, those are the same words that anybody would use, because those are the three things that the market will do, right? The market's going to go up, the market's going to go down, or the market's going to stay flat. And the funny thing is these technical analysts think that they know exactly what's going to happen, but they don't. They're right some of the time, and they're wrong some of the time. Now, I mentioned the debate goes between the technical investing, right? The tactical, we're going to be trying tactically moving in and out of the market, and fundamental investing is the other term that people use. And you've probably recognized fundamental investing, even if you don't know it as those words, as what Warren Buffett is a subscriber to, as what Susie Orman is a subscriber to, as what Dave is a subscriber to, Mr. Ramsey. If you're buying funds that track the market and holding on to them, you're buying high-quality mutual funds, investments, whether they're individual stocks in the case of Mr. Buffett, whether they're index funds in the case of Ms. Orman, or whether they're high-quality, professionally managed mutual funds like Dave says, and you're holding on to those for the long term. Now, a lot of times that's going to work out long term. You're buying and holding, right? That's the buy and hold strategy. But some of the time it doesn't work out. Basically, if you look at it, about half the time the tactical investing is right, and about half the time the fundamental investing is right. And that's why at Price Financial Group Wealth Management, we don't believe in making a binary bet. We don't believe in going one way or the other. We want to make sure that you have an all-weather portfolio. We want to make sure that your portfolio, your investments, are well-positioned to tackle whatever comes. Because if you've noticed, the market moves crazy amounts based on Twitter, based on news that's out there, based on tariff news. And not even just tariff actual implementation, but tariff news. So when the market thinks that maybe the president's going to levy more tariffs on China, it goes down. If they think that maybe they're feeling like the president's not going to levy these tariffs, and then the news comes out that, hey, there was a great meeting with President Xi, then the market goes crazy. The other news is coming from the Fed, interest rates, whether interest rates are going to go up, or they're going to go down, or they're going to stay the same. Now, I don't know if you noticed, but those are the three things that I said the market can do. And basically, the market has moved because there is the belief or the thought that tariffs are going to happen or they're not going to happen. And it's just crazy to try and time it and try and be in front of all of that. And not only do you have to be right both ways, but you also have to be able to get in front of these institutional investors. And when I say institutional investors, I'm talking about hedge funds that manage billions of dollars. I'm talking about endowment funds that manage billions of dollars. And these funds move hundreds of millions of dollars, where folks like you and I, you know, are moving hundreds of thousands of dollars, right? So when we're trying to get our trades in or get our market movements in, it may be too late if you're trying to time the market, because those big institutional money managers have already made that move and already driven the market down further. Because remember, when people sell, or when a lot of people sell, that's when the market goes down. When a lot of people are buying, when a lot of funds are being bought, that's when the market goes up, supply and demand, right? So the biggest thing is how do you know when to get in, when to get out? And that's why we believe in having that all-weather portfolio. Whether the market's up, whether the market's down, you're doing all right. And we start by doing that. The way we start that is by having a financial plan. And if your plan is for retirement, if your plan is for saving money for college, for your kids, or for your grandkids, if your money's saving for a major purchase, want to make sure that you have a plan. And if we use rules-based investing, if we're looking at these are the factors that we need to follow, this is the return that we need to get, as long as we're on track, I don't care what the market is doing. So if we've sat down and done your plan and we need to get 4 to 5% a year, we need to get 6 to 7% a year, whatever that number is, as long as we're on track, I don't need to compare myself to what the overall market is doing. I don't need to listen to that noise. Because behaviorally, it'll make me be able to stay invested, to stay on track and stay in the plan. The biggest thing is, and we talked about this last week when Taylor Cattell was on and I brought up the roller coaster analogy. As you get older, maybe you can't handle the bigger roller coasters anymore, right? You could handle those in your 30s. You could handle those maybe in your 40s. We start getting 50s, 60s, 70s. We can't handle the big swings anymore. Let's have a plan that doesn't necessarily have the big swings, but that we can stay invested, that we can stay on track, and we're not going to get spooked and get out and lose traction. And maybe any ground that you've built up, because a similar situation we talked about, the S&P 500 being up 19% so far this year. But when the S&P 500 went down 20, it touched down over 20 in December. If you got out because you got spooked and you didn't get back in, then you missed out on an extreme upside. So the biggest key is you need to have a plan. You need to have an investment plan. You need to have an all-weather portfolio, something that's going to be able to weather the ups and the downs, and you're going to be able to stay invested. And the biggest thing about that, the easiest way to have that, is to have an investment professional that you work with, somebody that you stay strong with, and somebody that you can call to make sure that you guys are on track and to make sure that you have a plan. If you'd like that to be us, or if you'd like to see if we are a good fit to help you build that all-weather portfolio, give our office a call, 503-253-3000. That's 503-253-3000. Chuck or I would be happy to sit down with you to explain to you our process and show you how it might make sense for you. And if it does, that's great. We'd love to work with you. And if it doesn't, worst case scenario is you had a professional second opinion on what you're currently doing. Worst case is you spent an hour, maybe 2 hours, if we have a couple of meetings, you want to sit down and see what we're talking about. And you have the peace of mind of knowing, hey, you're doing exactly what you need to be doing. You're on track. This is a great way to go. So give our office a call if you'd like to sit down. Also, give me a call today if you'd like to have a question answered, something you've been wondering about that's been keeping you up at night, 503-417-9595. We're going to take a quick break here, and we'll be right back with Investing Simplified. Price Financial Group, wealth management. Price Financial Group, wealth management. We do investing simplified.
Are you concerned about your retirement income? Do you really understand how your Social Security benefits work? Price Financial Group Wealth Management has helped many seniors in Oregon and Washington maximize their Social Security benefits at retirement through using their Social Security seminar on demand. Now you can watch this valuable information in the comfort of your home by just going to www.pfgwm.com and click on the free Social Security kit. If you are serious about your retirement planning, you cannot afford to miss this opportunity. After all, you have invested your hard-earned dollars into Social Security all your working years. So shouldn't you get the maximum return you can get from those dollars? The future can be scary, and without a plan, it can be even scarier, especially when facing the unknown. What you don't know can hurt you. Get your free Social Security kit at pfgwm.com or call 503-253-3000.
You're listening to Investing Simplified. Now, back to Bo Caldwell.
All right, welcome back to Investing Simplified. If you're just tuning in, thank you for joining us. You can give us a call, 503-417-9595. If you have a question that you've been keeping you up at night, something that you need to get answered, something that you've been wondering about, there is no stupid question when it comes to your money, when it comes to your investments, when it comes to your retirement. There are no bad questions. So we've been talking about investing, investment timing, how to time in the market. And another thing I've heard a lot lately is, should I be investing because it's an election year? Should I be waiting till the election's over? Should I have sold in May and gone away? Which is a common refrain that you hear from people who are trying to be tactical in their investments. And really, the reality is that there is no right answer to that question. So you can look at, people have analyzed over the last 100 years, right, over the last century, when we have an election year, not an investment year, an election year, and looked at, well, we should have positive returns, you know, when it's an election year, and then we should be out by the end of the presidential term. And that does work sometimes, but it doesn't work sometimes. And so really, behaviorally, we have this sort of herd mentality, as it were, in order to, hey, we need to try to find these timing factors. And really, they work about half the time and they don't work about half the time. And unless you are spending the time to analyze the fundamentals of the market, to analyze the fundamentals of the specific indexes you're looking at in terms of price to earnings ratios, in terms of the CAPE ratio, in terms of all those different factors, trying to time it, most likely you're going to end up just really hurting yourself. And it looks like I have a phone call on the line. Michael, you have a question.
Yeah, I had a quick question. You're talking about market timing. What do you think of the index inverse funds? Like Guggenheim has a Dow times two and S&P times two, where if you roll into the market in the morning and it goes down, you actually make a little money.
Right.
So think about those for timing.
Sure. That's a good question. So really, in terms of inverse funds, if you're sort of trying to hedge on the upside or on the downside, rather, saying, hey, we're going to make money when the market goes down. And
yeah,
the thing about them is it can make sense, especially if you're trying to time, right? So it's the same idea as basically buying, you're going short the market is what that's called, as opposed to going long the market and earning it or buying a regular index fund. Now, the negative is it's a two times or three times. Those are the numbers that I heard you use. So you've got a two times inverse. So what that means is that fund is leveraging options in order to bet on the movement of the market. And if you're wrong and it's a two times index fund, then you're just going to be two times wrong. So they're not necessarily a terrible fund to own if you think if you don't want to actually go out and buy those options or utilize an option trading, you can buy that inverse indexed fund. The problem is it's just going to be the same as buying an index fund on the upside, right? So if you're looking to go up, you're looking for the market to go down, and if you're right, it's going to work out super well. But if you're wrong, then it's going to work out super poorly.
Okay.
If that makes sense.
It does make sense. That's the risk of the market.
Exactly. Anytime you hear leveraged or two times or three times, you'll hear there's a lot of folks are investing in those funds for commodities markets. Particularly, I've heard a lot of folks that do that in the oil and gas market. So they'll invest in those leveraged funds. And anytime there's a 2x or 3x lever on there, that just means that you're taking extra risk. And if you're okay with that, if that's something you're all right with gambling, then that's then that's okay, conceivably. I like to think about, you know, there's a quote that I like to follow when we're talking about investing, and it's investing should be like watching paint dry or grass grow, right? It should be a slow grow. It should be a slow slog towards retirement. If you want gambling, if you want excitement, then you go to Las Vegas, right? So unless you're, if you're willing to take that risk and to go, hey, I'm willing to sacrifice the security of knowing that I'm going to, you know, over time slowly build money with for the chance of a big up of a big upswing, then great. Those are great funds to use.
All right, thank you.
Yeah, you betcha. Thank you for the call, Michael. That was a great question. So if you, like Michael, have any questions about specific funds, a lot of times I can't tell you exactly what or what not to do, but just give you information. You know, information is power. We're trying to share that with folks. Michael brings up a good point that we've heard. He talked about the leveraged funds. Another thing I've gotten a question about a lot is how to buy the VIX. So if you're familiar with the VIX, it's VIX, and that is it was built by the Chicago Board of Options, or the Chicago Board Options Exchange. I don't remember, the CBOE, but it's from the Options Board in Chicago. And they built this index basically to track market volatility. And they look at basically the way that the markets are, how fast they're moving. And volatility doesn't mean up or down necessarily. It means how much the market itself is moving. So the more volatility you have, the more ups and the more downs you will have. So if the VIX is low, that generally means that what the market sees coming in the next 30 to 60 days is less volatility. If the VIX is high, then it sees a lot more volatility. So you can think about the VIX spiked really high back in 2008 when we had a lot of market volatility. It also went really high in 2015. It could be really low, like it has been in the last few years, really, up until this last fall. The VIX went really high here in the fall and winter. So I've had the question, how can I invest in the VIX? And like a lot of questions I get, I don't necessarily know the answer off the top of my head, but able to look it up. And you can't actually invest directly in the VIX if you're looking to bet on volatility. Similar to Michael said, you're looking to bet on movements in the market. You can track the VIX with certain exchange-traded notes. But like the inverse index funds that Michael was saying, they have a lot of risk to them. There's a lot of potential reward, but they have a lot of risk. So if you are willing to take that risk, that's the biggest thing. We talk about that ad nauseum. The biggest thing about how much risk to take in the market, about which investments to buy, about how much return you should be expecting is how much risk can you handle? What kind of roller coaster can you ride? If you can only ride Mr. Toad's Wild Ride, if you can only ride the teacups, then you shouldn't be betting on Matterhorn or what's the new, I'm not even sure what the new roller coaster is down at Oaks Park, but I've seen it. It looks fun, a lot bigger and faster and bigger drops than there were when I was a kid going to Oaks Park. So if that's something you can handle, then by all means, there are things out there, there are investments out there that are available to you and can provide a really great return as long as you're willing to take the pain of the large downside. Again, Chuck and I have talked about this a lot, but if your investment goes down 20%, a lot of people think that you just have to make 20% back to get back to even, but you actually don't. You have to make 25. And I don't know of any investment that's going to make 25 in the next year. However, the NASDAQ has made 23 so far this year. So if you had bought in right at the beginning of the year, you'd be up almost that 25. So it is possible, but you have to be willing to ride it out. And not a lot of people are willing to ride it out. Kind of brings me to the next question that I have for you is, have you planned for long-term care expenses? We talked about big things that can derail your retirement. One of them is if you're investments perform poorly, if you've taken too much risk and they go way down. But a big thing that a lot of people don't plan on in retirement is medical costs. And the biggest medical costs conceivably that we will be encountering during retirement can be long-term care. Now, I can bring you statistics. I can talk to you about the chances that you or your spouse will have a long-term care event, and they are high. And a lot of people don't think about long-term care in terms of things like falls when you're in your 80s or 90s, or things like a stroke. But they do think about cognitive impairments. And as we get more and more knowledge in the medical community and more knowledge in cognitive impairments, we're seeing more and more diagnoses of Alzheimer's, of dementia, and different spectrum diseases like that. And people who need help and people who need care. And a lot of times that conjures up being in a nursing home, or that conjures up being in a skilled nursing facility. And people will say, well, that's never going to be me. I want to age in home. But you may not realize that that's long-term care as well. If we have to pay someone to help you get through what are called the activities of daily living, which include ambulating or walking, moving around. I like that word, ambulating, though. It includes toileting, eating, dressing, and transferring. Meaning, can you move from the chair to your wheelchair, from the wheelchair to your bed? If you need help with multiple of those things, and that help has to come at a cost, how do you pay for that? And a lot of people don't realize that that actually is super expensive. Nationally, the cost to have, you know, a homemaker, you know, someone help you in your home, a home health aide, in 2018, nationally, the median cost, which median means the middle, so not the highest, not the lowest, not the average, but right in the middle, is about $4,100 a month. Now, you extrapolate that out and say, hey, we have to be in nursing care. We need skilled nursing care, because now we don't just need help with those activities. We need, you know, don't just need help getting around, but let's say we have advanced dementia, or we have an issue where we need someone with us constantly. Nationally, a semi-private room, semi-private, is $7,400 a month. That's not private room. That's $7,400 a month for a semi-private room. And when you get into the state of Oregon, homemaker services, I mentioned, is about $49,000 a year, excuse me. In Oregon, nationally, a homemaker service, the median cost, is $58,000 a year. Almost $60,000 a year for a home health aide. And that's been growing annually for the last 5 years at almost 5%. So that means right now, yeah, you say, oh, $60,000 a year, I can easily afford that on my retirement budget. But if you're 60 years old, and you're probably not going to have this care event, need this care till you're 80, 82. Growing at 5% a year, it's going to cost a lot more than $60,000 a year. Now, I mentioned nursing care and the cost of nursing care in Oregon. So if we have to get skilled nursing care, is almost $120,000 a year for a private room. That's $10,000 a month. Do you have a plan to pay for that if that happens? I'm going to talk about, after the break, talk about some options for paying for that plan, some options to take care of it. And the biggest thing is, have the conversation. Have the conversation with your kids, with your spouse, with your financial advisor, and make sure that you have a plan. So we're going to come back here after this break with Investing Simplified. Thank you for listening. If you have a question about long-term care, if you have a question about how to pay for it, how to cover it, give me a call, 503-417-9595. Or if you'd like to sit down and talk about options, you'd like us to take a second look at what your plan is, call our office at 503-253-3000. You're listening to Investing Simplified. Investing Simplified.
Legal matters are never easy, but they are especially difficult when they involve the most important people and aspects of your life. This is Taylor Cattell, founding partner of KG Law Group. It's important to have an attorney who cares about your unique circumstances and knows how to get the outcome that is best for you. At KG Law Group, we specialize in estate planning and family law, including wills, trusts, powers of attorney, guardianship, and divorce. At KG Law Group, we provide both expertise and compassion as we guide you through the complex legal landscape. We balance knowledge of the law with exemplary client service. Whether you're reacting to a crisis or planning for the future, we are here to help. If you need legal advice, give us a call today and schedule a consultation at 503-878-8948. That's 878-8948. Or visit us online at kglawgroup.com. That's kglawgroup.com, serving Oregon and Southwest Washington. KG Law Group, your family, your legacy.
You're listening to Investing Simplified. Now, back to Bo Caldwell.
Welcome back. You're listening to Investing Simplified, the show. If you have a question for us, give us a call, 503-417-9595. While I don't have Taylor here to answer your law question, or Kevin here to answer the tax question, or Michael here to answer your real estate question, I will do my best to get you the answer that you're looking for. In worst case scenario, I can get you that answer at a later time and get back to you. So I was talking to you about long-term care expenses, and I don't mean to say this as a doom and gloom scare, just like we don't mean to say, hey, the market's at all-time highs. We see a recession coming here in the next 18 months. Doesn't mean to be scared. It means to have a plan. It means to figure out what that plan is. And I have clients, let me tell you, that their plan is to self-insure. Right. So you hear long-term care, and a lot of times people's radar goes up, their anti-insurance salesman, alarm goes off, their spidey sense, as it were, and says, hey, he's talking about long-term care, he's going to try and sell me something. And all I'm trying to sell you on is having a plan and communicating that plan with both your spouse, but also your advisor, also your children, so they know what the plan is. Because if your plan is to leave a legacy to your children or to your heirs, and your plan for long-term care expenses for when these care costs come up is to use your assets, which is a perfectly good plan, then your kids need to know about it. Because if they don't know that mom and dad's plan is to spend down their assets when they have a care event, whether that be a fall, a stroke, or those cognitive impairments we talked about, then it's going to be real hard for you, for your medical provider, for your doctor, or for your financial advisor to get you taken care of in the way that you wanted. So make sure you communicate that plan and have that conversation. And if your advisor hasn't had the long-term care conversation with you, you need to bring it up with them. Because that's a conversation that you need to have. And like I said, it doesn't mean that you have to buy long-term care insurance. It doesn't mean that you have to have something set aside. It means that you have to have a plan. And if that plan is self-insuring with your assets, that's a plan. Now, noting what I just said, that $120,000 a year in a private room for skilled nursing care, which you could be in for a year, 2 years, 3 years, will run down your assets pretty darn quick. As long as that's the plan, then you have a plan. Now, you can go on to, people will say, well, I'm going to go on Medicare. What you may not know is that Medicare actually only covers the first 60 days. Inside of a hospital or inside skilled nursing care. So that's only 2 months. And if we're talking about $10,000 a month after that, that adds up real fast. So if you've had a plan or if you have long-term care insurance, it's also worth reviewing to make sure there isn't something better out there for you. A lot of times I've come across that clients have bought a long-term care policy a long time ago and bought a poor policy, or they have a policy that's increasing in rates, or they're really unhappy with the way that it's working. And there are other options out there. There are lots of different ways to make sure that you are covered. And whether that's insurance, like I said, with a traditional long-term care policy, whether that's a long-term care annuity, whether that's a hybrid life insurance policy, whether that's a permanent life insurance policy with cash value, whether that's just utilizing your assets. A lot of folks will speak to, they'll speak to Michael Standard, who we have here on, on the show, about setting up a reverse mortgage. Maybe that's the case. Maybe that's your plan, to have that line of credit on your house available for you if you have a long-term care expense come up. And that is not a bad plan either. The key is to have the plan and to talk it out and get a second opinion on it. So if you'd like that second opinion, give our office a call, 503-253-3000, or drop me an email, bo@pfgwm.com, or drop it to Chuck at Chuck, C-H-U-C-K, at pfgwm.com. We'd love to have that conversation with you. And again, just like a review of your investment portfolio, just like a review of your retirement planning, the worst thing that's going to happen is that you had a professional take a second look and tell you what you're doing's right and tell you that you're set up. And I think personally, that's worth an hour of your time. Now, you may not, and that's okay. But if you're listening today, then at least you think I have a little bit to offer. So now, if you're talking about Medicare, so I mentioned Medicare and how people utilize that to supplement their long-term care planning or to, get their planning done when in retirement. A question that comes up a lot for me, for clients, is the difference between Medigap and Medicare Advantage plans. And I am not a, they have designations out there. I think they're like certified retirement something. But anyway, but they have, there's a lot of training that goes into insurance agents getting ready to work with folks starting Medicare. And if you are getting ready to sign up for Medicare, getting ready to retire, you're about to turn 65, you need to talk to a licensed individual. If you need someone to be referred to, give our office a shout, shoot me an email. I can give you enough information to be dangerous, which I'm going to do a little bit today. But you need to talk to a professional insurance agent who deals only in that senior market. That's a big key. We have professionals around town that we partner with because we trust them. And just like the CPAs and the estate attorneys and the mortgage brokers and anyone else that we work with, I don't get any sort of referral fee. I don't get any payment off of it. All I know is that these are people that I trust to take care of my clients and trust to do a good job for them. But so the big key with Medicare that people don't understand is you don't need to file at 65. You should. There's no reason not to. But if you're still covered under your employer's plan, you should file for Part A. You don't need to file for Part B because Part A is that hospital insurance and Part B is the medical insurance, right, with Medicare. Part A is the part you paid for. It doesn't cost anything once you enroll. So there's really no reason not to file for it. You can do it online. It's really easy. It's really simple. Now, Part B is the hospital, the medical insurance, and that's the part that you need once you're no longer covered by your employer plan. Now, Part B can cost you some money, and usually it costs around $135, I think is the starting rate right now, but that is affected by your income. So that's a big decision that you have to weigh when filing for Medicare Part B. If you're still covered by work or if there's, a different plan out there, when you file for Part B, your premium goes way up if you made too much money last year. Now, it goes down eventually when you stop making as much money, but for those folks who are making a lot of money in either investment income, rental income, or employment income, that Part B premium goes up pretty high. Part D, which is your prescription drug plan, and that's where you get your prescription drugs, also goes up if you make more money. So they get you going, they get you coming, and they get you going when you're making money, right? But those do go down once you're no longer making as much money. So those are the parts that you have to file for when you're no longer covered by your employer's plan. So then the other options that people ask about is, do I get supplemental or Medigap coverage, or do I get Medicare Advantage coverage? And there are pros and cons, pluses and minuses to both. They're both private insurance contracts that you get through a private insurance company. So locally here, that could be Kaiser or Providence or Moda. Those are a couple of local companies around here. And you get this private insurance through those companies. And the Medigap policy or supplemental Medicare coverage is one way to go. And Medicare Advantage is the other. And that's also called Part C. So those are the huge confusing things about Medicare, which is why when you're enrolling, I strongly suggest giving a licensed professional a call. And if you need a referral, give our office a shout and we will happily send you to someone that we trust. But the difference is between Medigap or the Medicare supplement, Medicare Advantage is mostly out-of-pocket cost. So with Medicare Part B, which is your medical insurance, there are deductibles, just like traditional medical insurance. The thing that Medicare Part B does not have is an out-of-pocket maximum. So you could be paying $15,000, $20,000 in copays if you have major surgery or if you have a major medical expense. And that's why a lot of people get the Medigap, the supplemental Medicare or the Medicare Advantage coverage, because those private insurance plans have to cover everything that traditional Medicare does, but they add extra coverage. So the big difference between the Medigap and Medicare Advantage is that supplemental coverage, that Medigap policy, has a letter to it, just like the other Medicare, just to make it even more confusing. But that Medigap coverage has more out-of-pocket costs right up front. The premiums are significantly higher than that $135 for Part B, and you still have to pay that Part B, by the way. But they can take care of a lot of those out-of-pocket minimums. They cover, most of them cover the deductible when you have major medical costs, and they give you an out-of-pocket maximum. So they're limiting your the catastrophic, you know, results of having a big medical situation. Now, Medicare Advantage tends to be much cheaper out of pocket in terms of a monthly cost, and a lot of times has a lot of the same coverages that Medigap does. Maybe they have a deductible still, but they have an out of pocket maximum. They cover your prescription drug plan. They actually take the place of Part B and Part D, but you still have to pay your Part B premium, and they then maybe are $100, couple hundred bucks a month for that Advantage plan. That's the way that a lot of people go. The negative is that if you're on a Kaiser Advantage plan, you're limited to only going to Kaiser because it's an HMO. If you're on a PPO plan or a provider network plan, you can only go to the doctors that accept that plan. So the big thing is, folks, if you're looking at these plans, find out if your doctor accepts the plan and find out if your doctor accepts that coverage, because that's a big thing. For me personally, that's a huge thing, is to make sure that I'm comfortable with the doctor that I'm seeing and that I trust that doctor. And I think if you're like me, that's a big thing for you too, is making sure that you trust your doctor and that you're comfortable and can stay with the same doctor. So if you're going to stay with that same doctor, make sure that they take that insurance. And when you're talking to the insurance agent, say, here's my doctor. Are they covered under this plan that they're telling you about? And if not, it may make sense to find a different plan that your doctor does take. So I'm going to take my last break here, and we will be back and talk a little bit more about retirement planning, and we're going to talk a little bit about Social Security and the different rules that have changed with Social Security. But if you have a specific question, give me a shout, 503-417-9595 or 1-877-733-1011. Glad to have you listening today. You're listening to Investing Simplified.
Simplify. Hello, this is Kevin Stege, shareholder with Baker & Colson Certified Public Accountants, serving the Portland and Southwest Washington areas for almost 40 years. We are a full-service accounting and consulting firm offering our services to a wide range of business and individual clients. One of the largest expenses to a household or a business is its tax burden. While off-the-shelf tax products can help file simple returns, they can't know your plans for the future and not only provide insight and planning to help you get there, but actually help you along the way. There are just some things that can't be replaced by experience. Whether you are just beginning your working career or have a well-established business with many employees, rely on the professionals at Baker & Colson to help in an efficient, accurate, and personalized manner. We are located at 2414 Northeast Division in Gresham and can be reached at our website at bakercolson.com or 503-666-5569. That's bakercolson.com, 503-666-5569. And remember, at Baker & Colson, our service is the product our clients remember most.
You're listening to Investing Simplified. Now, back to Bo Caldwell.
All right, welcome back. You're on the air with Investing Simplified, the show where we try to answer those questions that are keeping you up at night about your finances. Information is power, and what you don't know can hurt you. So please pick up the phone and give us a shout if you have a question that I have not covered yet. I've been talking with you so far today about different retirement plan coverages, different retirement plan options with Medicare, and what goes part and parcel with Medicare and is often included in the same conversation, mostly because the filing dates are very similar, is Social Security. And a lot of people have questions about Social Security, and we can get into the fact that, you know, Social Security is underfunded, that it's fully funded through 2032 based on recent estimates, and that it's 75% funded after that. and we don't know where the money's going to come from to cover it. That's above my pay grade in terms of how they're going to cover it. I personally think there are several simple options for the government to take care of it. But as you well know, the government is pretty slow moving at taking care of anything and pretty inefficient at taking care of just about anything. And unfortunately, I think both sides of the aisle in Washington, you know, have a little bit of their heads in the sand about the different issues and problems that we are facing, especially in Social Security land. And I personally, you know, being in my 30s, part of my retirement plan is to not really include Social Security, and it'll be just a boon if it's there. Because I don't know what's going to happen in the long run. And I think that they're going to raise retirement ages. They're going to raise the wage base. There's lots of different things. And so looking at it 30 years from now, I don't know what the world is going to look like. What I do know is if you're getting ready to file for Social Security soon now, then you're pretty well funded. And it's pretty well, like I said, it's 100% funded through 2032 by recent estimates, and then 75% funded after that, where there some small changes could definitely make a big impact and really make it viable for the future, I think. But the big question that people ask a lot is they used to hear all the different options for Social Security, and they used to have the file and suspend, the file restricted, the when can I file, do I file early, all those different things can really affect negatively or positively your retirement. So if you're in your 60s right now, you're about to turn 62 or 63, and you're thinking, maybe I file for Social Security now, the big thing you may not know is if you're still working and you're still making money, that could be a really bad idea. So the negative of filing early before your full retirement age, which, you know, full retirement ages, you can just Google it and get online. But if you were born before, you know, 1954 or before, your full retirement age is 66 years old, your 66th birthday. That's when you can file for your full retirement benefit. If you're born after that, it continually increases until if you were born after 1960, then right now your full retirement age is 67. Right now is what I say. Because that could very well change. Now, the biggest thing that happens, if you file early before your full retirement age, and you'll hear that abbreviated as FRA, but if you retire before your full retirement age, then you're taking a permanent reduction in your Social Security benefits. That means you are reducing it sometimes by conceivably 30%. So if you were born after 1960, and you take your retirement, so let's say you were born January 1st, 1960. Now, 2022, you're 62 years old, January 1st, and you're going to file your retirement benefits. Your benefit is permanently reduced by 30%. That's for the rest of your life. Now, if we're talking about if you're going to live a long time, and as we get, you know, as medical advances keep going, we're expecting folks to live. If you're a married couple in your mid to late 60s, there's a 50% chance that at least one of you is going to live past 90. That's a pretty high chance, right? A lot of people, when I have these conversations about retirement planning, they say, oh, I'm not going to live that long. I'm not going to make it past 90. And I try to explain to them that my great-grandmother, who was born in the 1800s, lived to be 107. Now, how much has medical science advanced since then? A lot, right? So the chances that you're going to live longer are great. So in an ideal world, if you can avoid taking your Social Security till you're 70, because it continues to grow at almost 8% rate every year, which is not something that we can really get in the market on a guaranteed basis. Now, we might get that on an average, but not on a straight line, straight up 8% every year increase. If you have longevity in your family and you can afford to wait till 70, then a lot of times that works out to be ideal, but sometimes it's not. So then when do we take it? That becomes the question. Chuck and I utilize software, and I'd like to say it's proprietary to us, but it's not. It's available out there. So you should have that conversation with your advisor. When does it make the most sense to take my Social Security benefit? And sometimes it can make sense to take it prior to full retirement age. But a lot of times it doesn't, just because you're taking a permanent reduction in your benefit, and especially if you're still working. A lot of people don't know. If you're still working and you take your Social Security prior to that full retirement age, and you make more than a nominal amount, I believe it is $16,000 this year. It's indexed for inflation, goes up every year, but I believe it's $16,000. If you make more than that amount and you took your Social Security prior to full retirement age, they reduce your benefit by a dollar for every $2 you make over that $16,000 amount. That's a very small amount of money to make and get that reduction in benefits. And you've already elected early, so now your benefits stop growing. Now, the loopholes that they had in there before were called file and suspend or file restricted. They have eliminated those. The Bipartisan Budget Act back in 2015 eliminated a lot of those loopholes. It phased them out. One thing that is still available, if you were born before January 2nd, 1954, you can still file a spousal application if you're full retirement age and take half of your spouse's dollars and let your amount still grow. So what that means is if you've got a husband and wife and the husband's monthly benefit at full retirement age is $2,000 a month, just for easy math, and the wife's at full retirement age is $800 a month, but by the time she's 70, it's going to be $1,500 a month, then she can file for spousal benefits right now, take $1,000 a month, which is half of her husband's, as long as her husband has filed for Social Security on his own record, and let hers continue to grow until she turns 70, in which case now we can switch her over from her $1,000 a month to $1,500. That's a 50% raise. That's pretty great. Now, you have to be born before January 2nd, 1954 to take that advantage of that. Otherwise, what Social Security now calls it is deeming, and they say you are deemed to have taken your benefit and your spousal benefit, whichever is higher, and they go ahead and give that to you. But at the same time, that may mean that, okay, if you are born after 1954, because you're saying, oh, well, thanks, man, but, you know, I was born in 1956. How's this helping me? We can still do an analysis for you to sit down with you and your spouse and see when the best time to take it is, because we can give you a break-even number to say, okay, taking it now means this much money now, or taking it in 2 years, 3 years means this much money per year. And if we look at your overall financial plan, give you the best way to take it. Because oftentimes people just see that dollar amount and say, hey, if I had an extra $1,500, my life would be way better. But that's permanently. Now, they increase it each year for a cost of living adjustment, or at least they have for the last few years. And they, from what I understand, next year's increase is going to be great too. We had a nice big cost of living adjustment this year and another good one next year. But that may or may not continue, especially if Social Security is so underfunded. So there are a lot of different strategies to take that Social Security, to utilize that Social Security, and to best position yourself for retirement. And if you have not done a Social Security maximization analysis and would like to do one, that's something that we offer free of charge, no obligation. Chuck and I are happy to do that for you as part of a retirement plan. So come see us. Give us a call, 503-253-3000, or send us an email at ask@pfgwm.com and set an appointment with us. We're happy to sit down with you to discuss the Social Security strategies, to take a look at your overall retirement plan and tell you what we think and see if we can't optimize it for you. So you may or may not know, for folks that listen here, you know, every week, we have a West Side location here in Portland that we just opened up here back in December, and that's over off of Highway 217 and I-5, right off the 72nd Avenue exit off of Highway 217. So it's very accessible to folks on the West Side, technically in Tigard, but a Portland zip code. We also still have our office over off of Stark Street, 99th between Stark and Washington Street near Mall 205. So it's very accessible for folks who are in the Vancouver area or who are on East County. We are happy to sit down with you, and worst cases too, we're happy to come see you. If, you know, if there's a chance that you can't make it down to the office, we will come see you and get that appointment done. And there's no obligation if you ever come see Chuck and I. We are not hard sellers. We want to make sure that you have all the information to make investing simplify. And we use our proprietary process. We'll share with you that process, share with you how it works. And hopefully that makes sense for your situation and we can help work with you going forward. Right. So give our office a call, 503-253-3000, or drop us an email. Visit our website at www.pfgwm.com. If you missed an episode of the show, you can also download the podcast, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or Google Play, wherever you get your podcasts. Thank you for tuning in today. Thank you for listening. Hope you had a safe and healthy holiday weekend, and God bless y'all.
Price Financial Group Wealth Management.
Navigating through today's financial investment world can seem pretty scary. Now, here's the good news. Chuck Price, president of Price Financial Group Wealth Management, introduces a new revolutionary concept that will change how you invest now and in the future. It's called Asset Lock. Asset Lock monitors your investment accounts 24/7, 365, and alerts you when action needs to be taken. And now, Chuck Price offers Asset Lock. At Price Financial Group Wealth Management, we believe all our clients deserve to have Asset Lock monitoring their accounts. So call Chuck today or online at pfgwm.com and learn how you can get Asset Lock on your accounts today for free. Price Financial Group Wealth Management, because the smart investor knows what you don't know can hurt you.
Simplify.
Call 503-253-3000. That's 503-253-3000. You can listen to past shows of Investing Simplified or sign up for our free newsletter at www.pfgwm.com. This show was brought to you by Price Financial Group Wealth Management Incorporated, a registered investment advisor firm located at 555 Southeast 99th Avenue, Suite 103, Portland, Oregon, 97216, 503-253-3000, or 877-50-PRICE. Investing Simplified is a registered trademark owned by Price Financial Group Wealth Management Incorporated.